Welcome back, Dan Bickley, Mike Jarecki. You know, I've known our next guest for many, many years, and he's the kind of guy that knows everything that's going on in the NBA, all the juicy little details. And when he was at the Associated Press and when he was at ESPN, you always wished and wondered if he could just get all that great stuff in print, you know, working for staid conservative organizations. Now Chris Sheridan has his own website, SheridanHoops.com. I recommend you go to it. Chris Sheridan joining us now. Hey, Chris, what's happening?
What's going on, Vic? How are you?
Good to have you back. Oh, absolutely, man. You know I definitely mean it. All right, let's start with the situation in Orlando. The whole idea of hiring Shaquille O'Neal struck me as a little bit goofy, but I guess that's kind of perfect for Orlando. He has taken his name out of consideration, I suppose. What is that story all about, and where is it going?
Well, that was a story that was floated to ESPN, and they ran with it, and then Shaq came out today and said, I don't have any interest in the job. ESPN.com hasn't reported what I've reported on the Dwight Howard story. A couple days ago, I reported exclusively that Dwight Howard wants out of Orlando. Doesn't matter that they fired Otis Smith and Stan Van Gundy. He wants to have a divorce and a clean break. And then this afternoon, 2 hours ago, I had another story out, also exclusive, Dan and MJ, that the Orlando Magic have decided they are going to trade him.
Wow.
The decision's been made at the highest levels of the organization, so both sides want a divorce. Usually when you have that, you get a divorce. And now it's going to be a question of where does it go from here? And really the next thing you got to look at is the draft lottery, guys, because once the draft lottery order is known, then the Orlando Magic know, you know, who they can call. Let's say they want to set their sights on getting the number one pick and getting Anthony Davis. Well, who wins the lottery and who's going to have the right to pick Anthony Davis? That's a team that they might shop Dwight Howard to, because at this point, they don't care where they trade Dwight as long as they get back the most they can for him. And if Dwight's not going to sign another extension with that new team, that's the new team's problem. That's not the Orlando Magic's problem anymore. So they're going to open up the bidding to everybody, and then they're going to hope that somebody thinks they can get Dwight Howard on the final year of his contract and convince him to stay long-term. The Houston Rockets were willing to do that at the trade deadline. The Golden State Warriors were willing to do that at the trade deadline. There's a lot of teams that don't think they can get Dwight to change his mind about where he wants to ultimately play the next 4 or 5 years of his career and keep him. So there's going to be a Dwight Howard sweepstakes, and it's going to go down right away. And like I said, the next thing we look to is the draft lottery, because that's going to determine sort of the pecking order in who the Magic start calling.
What do you think when it comes to the front office? I mean, you hear guys like Jerry Sloan. Is there any way Doc Rivers ends up there? And GM-wise, I mean, clearly they got to have to hire someone with experience. Would you agree?
Doc Rivers has a 5-year contract with the Boston Celtics, and he's in the first year of it.
Mm.
So why are the Boston Celtics going to let Doc Rivers leave and go coach the Orlando Magic
sure.
for the next 4 years? Now, if the Orlando Magic want to trade Dwight Howard for Doc Rivers, then the Magic will make that phone call. But the notion that Doc Rivers, who just signed a 5-year contract, is going to be brought in as the coach to be the Dwight Howard savior is absolutely preposterous. He's got a 5-year contract, a brand new one. You know, when you have a 5-year contract, that's a long-term commitment. And Doc has made that with the Celtics, and that's that.
Now, when it comes to Jerry Sloan, do you think that'd be a good fit for him if he wants to get back in?
I'm sorry, MJ, try one more time.
Jerry Sloan, you think that'd be a good fit for him?
Oh, well, you know, Jerry, if he's still around, because Jerry's already been talking to Michael Jordan, and Jerry definitely has the itch to get back into coaching. And Steve Bloom wrote it in the Salt Lake Tribune a couple days ago. He got Jerry on the phone, and Jerry told him, I've already talked to Michael. And, it's not so much a matter of what the record was last year. It's about what you can do going forward. So Jerry Sloan is definitely on the market, and if Michael Jordan strikes fast, he'll get him before the Orlando Magic get a chance to think about approaching him. So I think we're going to see Jerry Sloan back in the NBA if he takes his time and he waits for the Orlando Magic to call him and they tell him they want him to be the coach. Then I think certainly he would take Orlando over Charlotte, because Jerry wants to win. Jerry hasn't won an NBA championship, so he's got unfinished business even at 70 years old. So it'll be interesting to watch the developments on that and see if Michael pounces or finds a way to pounce with Jerry, who's you know, it would be quite pretty ironic if, you know, the guy who defeated Jerry Sloan's teams all those times, mm-hmm. and broke the hearts of so many fans in Utah, ended up being a guy who works for Michael Jordan.
Man, that really would be the height of irony. All right, there's going to be a game 7 in Boston. Old-time NBA fans will find some great nostalgia and symbolism in the 76ers and the Celtics. What strikes you about that matchup, and do you give Doug Collins' team a shot?
Yeah, you know, I do, and I'll tell you why. And there's a column on our site, Chris Bernuka wrote it today, and it lays out a lot of reasons why the Sixers can win Game 7 in detail, and it's not hooey. It's real stuff. I mean, it goes back into the Celtics' recent history in Game 7s with their core of four of Garnett, Ray Allen, and Rondo, and Pierce. But to answer your question, the biggest thing in that game is who's the pressure on? All the pressure is on the Celtics. Now, the Celtics are not a team that usually shirks in the face of pressure. However, when you're the opponent and the pressure's not on you, such as the case with Philadelphia, you don't have to deal with the pressure of expectations and possibly going out against a number 8 seed. And so how will that pressure impact the Boston Celtics is one big question. And then, a big tactical question is, how are they going to stop the dribble penetration game that Philadelphia ran so well last night, mm-hmm. In Game 6? They don't have Avery Bradley out there to defend anymore. The guy's shoulder keeps popping out of his socket. And they've got Paul Pierce out there on a gimpy knee, and Ray Allen can't shoot the ball anymore, and he couldn't guard anybody before. So the Celtics really used that to their advantage last night, both Drew Holiday and Lou Williams. And if they're able to do that again and have the same scheme work in Game 7, look, they're going to get the points that they need to outscore a Celtics team that wants to keep the score as low as possible. You know, those guys are old and slow, and they want to play the game old and slow, and they want it to be a defensive battle. And, the more the Celtics can slow the game down, the better the chances that they have of winning at home. And now experience is certainly going to be on their side as well because, look, they've been in these things before.
Mm-hmm.
For the Sixers, it's all going to be new. But look, if the Sixers play loose and the Sixers get to the hole and get to the line, you already know they can out-rebound the Celtics. The Celtics were the 30th best rebounding team in the league. That's last place. So I expect a really great game. And, Dan, Dad's our age, I'm 47 now. I remember I was 17 when Andrew Toney went in there and killed the Celtics, him and Dr. J, in Game 7. And the Celtics fans hated the Lakers so much that when it was, the outcome was decided in the final seconds, they chanted, "Beat L.A., beat L.A." The Celtics fans chanted that, and they chanted it for the Sixers. It was one of the strangest things I ever remember hearing watching TV, mm-hmm. and I remember it vividly from when I was a teenager.
And that's the start of that "Beat L.A." chant that we hear out in Phoenix constantly. That was the first time that had ever been voiced anywhere.
That's right. A lot of people don't realize that and don't know that. But let me tout Chris Bernuka's column on my site again, because he goes into that. He was at that game. His dad got him a ticket. And Chris grew up a big Sixer fan and, like me, a big Dr. J fan. When I was a kid, I was a fan of the New York Nets because I liked the ABA instead of the NBA. And Dr. J was the best player on the planet. And so, I couldn't root for the Sixers once the Nets traded him down there. But I think Chris has always been real on top of the Sixers and makes a lot of good points about both the rivalry and the dynamics of Game 7 that we're going to see this weekend. So really check that column out. It's by Chris Bernuka, and it's on Game 7 of the Celtics-Sixers series.
Chris, we got Game 6 coming up here, of course, with the Miami Heat and Indiana Pacers. To me, I think if the Pacers are going to win this series, they had to win Game 5.
Well, look, the Heat are going to have an awful tough time tonight down low because mm-hmm. Dexter Pittman is suspended for 3 games and he got off light, in my opinion. And Udonis Haslem is suspended for this game. He'll be back for Game 7 if it's needed. But they don't have any bigs. Their bigs tonight are Joel Anthony and Juwan Howard. Joel Anthony is an okay center, good defensive player. He can grab you some rebounds. But if he gets in foul trouble, You know, Juwan Howard is 129 years old and hasn't played meaningful minutes in the NBA in, in years and years. And, you know, they may just activate Eddie Curry tonight. And wouldn't that be something to see Eddie Curry come in and be an impact player one way or the other? But if your only backup big is Juwan Howard, I think if you're Eric Spoelstra, you have to deactivate James Jones. You don't need a third shooter. Or maybe you deactivate Norris Cole. And you activate Eddie Curry, and you have one more big body. I mean, otherwise, Roy Hibbert and David West are going to eat you up.
Chris Sheridan from SheridanHoops.com joins us. Trust me, folks, not many people know hoops the way he does. Check out his website. He has got great contributors. I mean, we're talking about people all the way from Mark Heisler of the L.A. Times fame to Jan Hubbard. You've had some great contributors, and it's a great site. Couple more quick questions for you, Chris. Steve Nash.
I'm coming, Dan.
You
I'll
got it.
As many as you got.
You got it, man. Steve Nash, where do you think, what does your gut tell you where he's going to end up?
Gut, New York, because he lives in New York in the summertime. He really loves New York. He's single now. I don't think that the money is going to be the deciding factor for him. I think it's going to be that he's going to want to play someplace where he wants to live and where he thinks he has a chance to win. And the Knicks are really in a win now mode. Look, they've mortgaged everything to get Tyson Chandler and to get Carmelo Anthony. And they spent all their free agent money on an uninsured contract for Amari Stoudemire. So, you know, they're not on a 2-year plan. They're on a 1-year plan. And I think Steve Nash is exactly what they need. They were terrible running the pick and roll this year. Just absolutely horrible, except for the games when Jeremy Lin played. But ironically, most of those games were without Carmelo Anthony. So as nice of a splash as Jeremy Lin made, if the Knicks get word that Steve Nash wants to play for them and they were forced to choose between the two, I think they go with the, you know, the 38-year-old from and take him from Phoenix and put him with Amari and Carmelo and Chandler. And, you know, Chandler's one of the great pick and roll finishers in the whole NBA, and they instantly become much more of a contender to be able to beat a team like the Miami Heat, who knocked them off in 5 games this year. So, you know, with the help of a fire extinguisher case, of course.
But, right, exactly.
But hey, that's what my gut tells me.
Okay.
Now, look, Phoenix may come at him with $8, $9, $10 million a year for 3 years.
No, he won't.
And that's a lot of stretch, yeah. And it's hard to say no to something like that. And Steve is, you know, he's been real happy with the Suns organization. So, but are they in a position to win a championship? And would Steve have that before he retires? No, absolutely not. Not with Oklahoma City Thunder built the way they are and built to last. That team's going to be, you know, atop the West for a long, long time.
Great point.
So I think Steve is gonna go to the Knicks if all things are equal.
All right, the Lakers. What is their next move? Do they have one? Can they instantly regenerate on the fly the way they've done so many times in the past?
Well, they've already shown a willingness to trade Pau Gasol. I mean, they were going to trade him to the Houston Rockets in the original Chris Paul trade, and I think certainly that impacted the way that Pau played over the course of the season. So, yeah, he's the guy that I think is the most likely to move. But they're going to be faced with a choice at a certain point. Do they want to trade Andrew Bynum for Dwight Howard? And I think it's something they were willing to do over the first half of this season. But Andrew really came on and stayed healthy and was dominant for the first, you know, for an entire season for the first time in his career. So, and also Andrew Bynum is Jim Buss's guy, and Jim Buss is running that team a lot more than he used to. It used to be Mitch Kupchak having the bigger say, and now it's Jim Buss, and Jim is loyal to Andrew in a way that I don't think a lot of people completely comprehend and appreciate. So, I'd say that the most likely move for them is moving Pau Gasol. Look, you can get back a young four and a point guard. And I think Ramon Sessions didn't prove himself worthy as a guy that the Lakers want to stick with long term. He had a bad playoff. He had a nice end to the regular season, but he wasn't good in the playoffs. And so the Lakers can turn Pau Gasol into a point guard and a power forward. I think that's the deal they make.
All right. Finally, wasn't that long ago that you and I were covering Team USA's gold medal winning game in Beijing? Something tells me this time around, Jerry Colangelo is not going to get the buy-in that he did in 08. Do you feel the same way? And what do you think that team is going to look like come the middle of summer?
You know, that's a good question. And you hear rumblings that maybe Dwayne Wade won't play, and you know, maybe the fact that Mike D'Antoni is an assistant on that team will be the thing that, that keeps Carmelo Anthony away. And you know, the flip side of that argument is Carmelo plays the four position for that team, and they'd be better off with Kevin Love playing the four than they would with Carmelo. But look, as a fan, I really hope that all the guys who were together since Athens, and that's Dwayne Wade and LeBron James and Carmelo, I want to see them play in three Olympics. And I think it would be very, you know, very special if they could bring back some sort of a mix of the Beijing team and the team that went over to Istanbul for the 2010 World Championship. That team won the gold medal. I covered that tournament. Kevin Durant was absolutely spectacular. So was Westbrook in that series. Westbrook actually was a way better player than Derrick Rose was for Team USA in Turkey. But look, the United States is going over to the Olympics with potentially with a team that is going to be every bit as good as the original Dream Team. You know, if Dwight Howard wasn't hurt,
wow.
If Derrick Rose wasn't hurt, they'd be even better. But Jerry Colangelo is going over there with a heck of a team. The only problem he may run into is Spain's got a heck of a team. I covered them in Lithuania in at Eurobasket last September when I started Sheridan Hoops. And I watched them qualify along with France. And Spain is a different team than they were in Beijing in two ways. Marc Gasol is way better, and they still have Marc and Pau Gasol. A lot of people think, well, they're going to miss Ricky Rubio. No, they're not. Believe me, that Rubio played 8 minutes in the gold medal game in Lithuania. He didn't play well for the Spanish national team at all in their qualifier, and they're going to use Jose Calderon as their point, and their backup point will be Juan Carlos Navarro, who averaged 30 points in the last three games at Eurobasket. So they got a heck of a team already. What they've added to that team is Serge Ibaka, even though he speaks French. You know, the rules in international basketball are a little loose, and you know, you got guys playing for teams where they weren't born. J.R. Holden, an American, started for Russia in the last of the Eurobasket. So, when you talk about having a team that already has both Gasols and now you have Serge Ibaka, you've got more size, but I think more importantly, you've got more athleticism down low. And Spain is a team that didn't really have a ton of athleticism, and the Americans could beat them at the rim because there was nobody there to defend the rim. Well, now you got a guy, a power forward who led the league in blocked shots last season. It's the first time a power forward has ever led the NBA in blocked shots since they've been keeping the statistic. And Serge Ibaka has been having, you know, a terrific year for a terrific team. So he's going to be playing for Spain this summer, and Spain is going to be playing the United States in the gold medal game. And I think it's going to be a barn burner, just like the last one was, the one in Beijing. That game, the final score was something like 114-108. You realize what an astounding number of points that is in a 40-minute game?
In a 40-minute game, yep.
Yeah, and the Americans had a heck of a team, but they still gave up 108 points in that game. It's going to be a great Olympic basketball tournament. I'm really looking forward to it.
Thank you, Chris. We always appreciate it. Look forward to talking to you down the road.
All right, Dick. All right, MJ. Thanks, fellas.
Thank you, Chris.
Chris Sheridan. Check it out, folks. SheridanHoops.com. Dude knows what he is talking about. We're back after this.